Good afternoon. One take, baby.
You didn't do it.
What?
One take. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
One take Charlie. That's what they call all of us. All three of us have the exact same nickname, and it's One Take Charlie. Only takes us one time to start the beginning of a podcast.
Yeah, I thought that one take was much better than that first take.
100% agree with you. Takes one take. It doesn't.
Yeah. It's not the first one. It just takes one of them.
It just takes one.
Yeah.
We don't know when we start counting. You know?
I don't know how to count, honestly.
Absolutely.
It's like one applesauce popo, right?
And then we go.
Yeah.
Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? We're snowed in. It's like a horror movie that Nick's never heard of. And
The Thing. That one.
Yeah, right.
I got it. Okay.
Oh, cool. You've heard of it. Great. We're trapped in the middle of a snowstorm.
Douche.
These two soldiers. That's what I call you, soldiers, because you are fighting the good fight of podcasting.
No, you're just a pussy and can't drive in the snow.
Can I be a Green Beret?
Yes.
Can I be a Ranger?
What is a Green Beret?
They have Green Berets.
Oh.
And well, I get that special
part.
Forces.
I get
it's
that
a
part.
Military special force unit.
Okay, I'm
SEAL. Like the Rangers or the SEALs.
I'm SEAL Team 6. That's what I am. I'm the SEAL Team 6 podcaster.
Oh, yes. You're like SEAL Team 3.
Are there multiple SEAL teams?
No, he's like SEAL Team. Like, he doesn't even get a number.
He's just a team of
SEALs.
You're just a team of SEALs.
What?
Their balls are all stacked in the corner.
Are there multiple SEAL teams?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, thus... SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, but
what about 1 through 5? Okay. Is that what you're wondering about?
They didn't do so well in the box office.
This is probably really bad, but I think I assumed that there were 6 members of SEAL Team 6.
Well, I think
that's why they were called SEAL Team 6.
Oh, no.
No, they're
called
like
SEAL
the
Team
Fab
6 because they are SEAL Team number 6.
Oh, okay. There's not 6 of them? There's probably
no, I think there are 6 of them, but I think that's
I feel like there might be
operating.
More than 6, though.
There's got to be more than 6.
I feel like there might be like
no,
10
because,
or 12.
No, because once you get into like... large numbers, you risk like ruining the operation. Mm. So they try to keep it very limited.
So they sent 6 people. I saw the movie. Why? I don't remember anything from it. I remember.
I think there's only six of them.
There's definitely less than 12.
Okay.
Probably at least 6.
Definitely.
There's like 5 or 6 of them.
That's a good range.
Definitely less. Yeah, definitely around that time. It's snowing out. Adam did not make the trek.
Well, he has a
he's a fucking puss. That's what we call this fucking bus.
What, you're gonna really make
bus.
You're gonna make fun of our one listener.
Yeah, they.
I'm sorry, but we have a few listeners.
Yeah, we have definitely a couple.
We have listeners. In like the twos.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely like a multiple of two. Yeah. So.
Or divisible. Either way.
Yeah, one of those two. He's not here. But we're here to not talk about anything except ourselves. That's what we're talking about today. I have a question for you guys.
No. I have an answer, maybe.
I just thought of a topic.
D, all of the above.
Even though we have nothing. How many people in your life are stupid? Give me a percentage. Because I would
a
just...
A percentage? Yeah, I know a number.
I want a rough estimate. I want a rough estimate of the number of people in the world... that are considered stupid people. And I'm talking about no gray area. No, but he's street smarter. He's book smart. Or
no,
he's
like
really
or
he has really
stupid.
Good fashion sense. He's so smart. No, there are two people in the world, smart and stupid. And I want to know what percentage make up each group.
88.
88 are stupid.
Yeah.
Zach.
And I'm including like us in that category. Like
100%.
My bar for smart is pretty high here.
Okay, well, I'm going to exclude us. Because I can. 5 or 6.
5 or 6%?
You forget, I don't know many people.
Wait a minute. 5 or 6 people or 5 or 6%?
No, people.
Okay, how many people in the world would you say, generally speaking, are stupid?
Statistically
people?
Speaking, 50?
50% of people are stupid.
Well, think about it. If you're average, 50% of people are stupider than you.
I have a number. The number is 95. That's where I had it.
You think?
I think everybody's fucking stupid. And I realized that this week for some reason because I was just pondering things. But
one does.
Yeah. My theory is I'm an idiot and I don't even realize that I'm an idiot.
I think that's the case. And like, I mean, the amount of times that you're sitting there and you're like, oh yeah, I'm smart. I'm good at this. And then you like do something really dumb and you're like, fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all hypocrites, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think being hypocritical is a human trait.
Yeah.
You know, uniquely human. That we think we're better at something. Like, no dog thinks he's better at something than he is.
Excellent point.
You know what I'm saying? No animal besides humans can actually think they're better at something. Because they just do.
Yes.
And if they don't succeed, they die. That's pretty much how the wild works.
We are really just, I mean, nature is just constantly bailing us out of prison. Like, mother, or society, rather.
We're too big to fail.
It's true. That's 100% right. Like, we should all be dead. Definitely the three of us in this room should not have survived this long. I 100% believe that. If we were just put out into nature, and we were just plopped on this planet with nothing, like, I guarantee you I would be dead within, like, 2 days.
I don't think
I have no dead. Shot. What shot do I have? I can't make a fire. I can't build a shelter. I can't fend for myself.
I feel like you'd learn, hopefully.
Well, yeah, no, that's the
or
idea.
Or you die. You learn or die. Yeah. Learn or die.
Yeah, but I know I would die. That's the thing. I don't think I'm very smart. And I thought I was smart.
I feel like Zach. Now, let's ponder this scenario. This is fun. Let's open up the scenario.
Yeah.
Let's say we all were to die. How would we die? Because what I'm picturing. Okay. Zach would do very well.
Yeah.
But he would be killed by other people. That's how he would do it. Nature would not kill him.
No, I totally agree with that. People would kill him. I would try to tell people how to do something, and they'd be like, fuck you, and then they'd kill me.
Would you be, like power hungry?
Like, we're talking about if we all lived in a jungle.
Yeah.
Like animals actually
we're
do.
We're in a tribe.
Okay, would you try to, like, make a push for power and try to, like, seize control, like Caesar in Planet of the Apes?
No, I think he'd be OCD. He'd be like, why are you building the hut that way?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would just second-guess people. You'd just be sitting in the corner, and then all of a sudden,
I would try to micromanage everything.
Yeah.
Because I do.
And they would have no choice. And they just have to take you behind the barn and shoot you.
We're going
to
sacrifice you tonight.
Yeah. That's the thing. But I always think about this. What would happen if we were like
Nico would die of starvation?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
I can't eat that. I can't eat that plantain. It looks weird. Doesn't make me comfortable. I'm not feeling it.
The texture of that coconut, it's just not right.
It's not right.
Just and way too
Nick
fuzzy.
And then Nick would try to like climb a tree. That somebody said, "Hey, you can't. You know, you can't go get those nuts."
Excellent.
And that's then you'd how fall and die.
Over ambition would kill you.
Because I'll tell you one thing: people won't. I don't think people will. Kill
no,
him.
I don't think people would kill him.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm pretty good at, like, keeping on people's good side.
Yes. I mean, you would be the hardest working person, that's the thing. And you wouldn't complain,
and
you would just
he'd
do.
Work himself to death.
Yeah, you would overwork.
He would do something, and then kill, and he would die from it.
It's funny, because take out the whole civilization scenario, and this is probably how we're all dying anyway, in real life.
Probably.
That's pretty true.
Probably how it's gonna be. Yeah, I guess the world
is a jungle, right? I mean, what can you say?
My question to you is this. What is intelligence?
Okay.
Who do you know that possesses it? And like, I mean, I don't know. What does it mean to be smart anymore? Like, what does smart mean?
I used to have a definition. We've had a conversation similar to this. And I used to have a different definition for it than I've recently. I've actually pondered this a lot recently.
Uh-huh.
And
why is this the thing that you guys are, like, worrying about?
Why is this a thing?
Okay, fail.
You like that? So worked it in right there.
Nice plug. Nice plug.
It's exactly the same. Go ahead.
The people who are smart are those who do not involve themselves with anybody else, and they just do the things they want to do. It's that simple. Like people like Elon Musk, you don't see him dealing with politics.
Uh-huh.
You don't see him dealing with people saying, "Oh, you can't," or like he doesn't even like pay attention in school. Literally, he just says, "I'm gonna do my thing and ignore everyone else," because literally he knew that every other person in the world is significantly stupider than him.
Yes.
And he just said it wasn't even worth his time.
That's very
Those
true.
Are the smart people.
Well, I think what it is it's sort of twofold. You need to realize so many other people are stupid, and I'm not going to learn anything from them.
Yes.
And then it's that drive to actually try to learn something. Whatever it is.
See, I don't think that's true at all. I don't think it involves learning. I think people Here's the thing, right? Society and life changes at such a rapid rate, and it is only those that can keep up with
it's
that
adaptability,
rapid change, right?
Right?
Yeah. It's right? Your ability to see 5 steps ahead of everybody else. And there are a very select few people that have that foresight. I just don't have that foresight.
I think I know one person you're thinking of right now, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Like there are just people that can, like a public figure or
yeah.
Yeah?
We'll talk about it later. I don't want to say it on the podcast.
Why?
Yeah, political.
Of course we can talk about it. Oh, God fucking damn. Listen, fucking Steve Bannon is brilliant.
I knew
Steve
you were
Bannon
say.
is is
I wouldn't go to that same length as you, but I know, but I've heard you say it before.
100%. Steve Bannon understands that he is smarter than Steve Bannon is the senior advisor of Donald Trump at the White House. Okay, he is one of three people that got him elected. Like, there are maybe only three people that are responsible for him. He is perhaps the most responsible. He has the most blood on his hands, if you want to put it that way, for this. But this guy just sees 10 steps ahead of everybody else, and I don't think that guy was interested in learning a craft. I don't think that guy was, like, spent hours and hours in a library learning shit. I think he just did. I don't think, like, he played by everybody else's rules. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I think people that are really smart do not waste their time with the mundane aspects of higher learning or society or anything else like that. And so I think to myself, why am I doing that? Why am I wasting my... Why can't I see ahead? But I can't. I have such narrow... You're stupid. I am stupid. But it bothers me. I'm a cog in the machine.
I disagree with you in the sense that I do think those people are well-read, though.
You think?
Not necessarily just books, but Elon Musk spent the first, like, no exaggeration, 20 years of his life just reading.
Yeah.
Like, 24-7, literally, actually.
Yeah.
Always reading.
Right.
I imagine... I don't know much about Steve Bannon, but I imagine that his being well-read probably has to do with media. So not actually reading books, but he knows. He has experience.
Do you know did I tell you the story about why I think Steve Bannon is the most brilliant man in politics?
No.
He bought royalty the rights to Seinfeld royalties in the early 90s before Seinfeld was a hit. And that's how he made his small fortune. So, like, no one was watching Seinfeld. It was on the verge of getting canceled. And a bunch of, like, the royalty stakes were, I forget how much he actually bought. It was, like, 20 or 30% or something of all of the Seinfeld royalties in perpetuity. And he became, like, a multimillionaire off of that. He saw that that show was going to be a hit before the American people, like, appreciated it. And now this guy saw that there was potential in Donald fucking Trump to be president before anybody else saw that potential. And it's like, what amount of reading tells you that? Like, I don't think that's something that
I think that comes down to, like, experience in media.
I'll tell you why, though. Stupid people write books. Like, it is everybody can read. That knowledge is available to everyone. Think about how many people go to college and are well studied and have degrees and learn a craft or whatever and will never become successful because they can't see it. I think that's an innate thing, right?
I do think that the more degrees you have, the less intelligent you are.
That's 100% true.
I don't know if that's 100% true.
That is 1,000% true. It's like, what, you can't prepare. It's just you either see it or you don't see it. And that's my definition for smart. It's either you get it or you don't get it.
I can
somewhere. And you know what I mean by it? It's just sort of the ether, right? Just this general sense of what's going to
happen.
But
you don't think that
some
people can see things that other people can't? Like, for example, you say, like, Steve Bannon might be very smart or whatever, but he can't do what Elon Musk does.
I disagree. I think that, and this is my other theory about smart people.
I do not agree with you in any way.
Smart people
The only one who can do what Elon Musk does is Elon fucking Musk.
Yeah. Smart people are smart people are smart people are smart people. And I think that intelligence applied to another field would get the exact same result every single time. I think it's just – Elon Musk obviously has devoted his life to science, right, and has trained himself to be an exceptional engineer and creative mind in that realm. But I still think, like, that skill set of being able to see 10 steps ahead of you is applicable to everything. And this idea that you have to train at something for years, I just don't think is true. I think we are – as much as we think that we can become great at something, we're just never going to get to that level of those guys. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, the prodigies. I'm talking about Bill fucking Gates, who goes to Harvard and realizes, you know, this is boring. I can't do it. I'm dropping out. I can't take this school. This school is beneath me. You know what I mean? And I just think, like, the conventions of society cannot contain these people. Does that make sense?
I don't agree, though.
Why?
Because you're implying that there's just, like, super beings.
Yeah. It is. It's a superpower.
I don't feel like it's a superpower.
It's a superpower that I don't have, and I'll never have it. I will never be Elon Musk. Does that – do you understand what I'm saying?
You don't eat.
I will never become that guy. No matter how hard I work, no matter how hard I study, aeronautics, right?
Let me ask you this. I mean, that kind of applies. It's fine. It's
astrophysicists.
Fine. Rocket science, a lot of things.
Yes. I will never be that guy. So that to me tells me that he has something in himself.
Now, do you think work ethic has more to do with it? Or do you think that's a result?
I don't think work ethic and intelligence have anything to do with each other.
Really? I think they're completely unrelated.
No, I agree with that.
You don't think that? Really?
I agree with that 100%.
I know a lot of brilliant people that are fucking lazy.
And I know a lot of people who work their asses off and are dumber than a bag of rocks.
Oh, absolutely. They have nothing to do with each other. They have zero.
Like the ability to push yourself past your limits.
That's different than work ethic.
Is it?
It's the same thing.
I don't think so.
Worth ethic. Yeah.
That's your drive just to do the work. That's like the guy who takes on extra shifts from everybody, but he can't spell. Mm-hmm. Like, he just is dumb, but he's like, oh, you know, I'll do everything you need me to do, and then some. I'll go the extra mile on that. But that doesn't necessarily lead to them being super intelligent.
Listen, coal miners have a good work ethic. Do you understand what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like those guys are, in terms of their ability to push themselves and to just get up every day and do their job, they are the best at it. The guys that are controlling the world are not those same guys. They realize they saw the paths ahead of them, and they saw how to navigate life in order to get to that position of power, and that is not necessarily work ethic. That's cleverness.
You don't think there's any aspect of luck in it either?
Of course there's luck.
Of course there's luck.
There's luck in everything. I just think, like, it's a very small group of people that can actually become great. It can actually change the world. They can actually, like, control shit. And I'm not one of those 5% of people. I just have to live with that for the rest of my life, and it bothers me. I will also say this. When you say well-read, I want to go back to this point for a second. When you say that a Steve Bannon type and Elon Musk are well-read, I think that just – that speaks to their curiosity, not necessarily their knowledge. Like, I don't think intelligence and knowledge are the same thing. Does that make sense? And I think there can be intelligence separate from the amount of knowledge that you possess. And here's an example I'll give you. Donald Trump has something. He has this thing that no one has been able to identify, and I don't think we'll ever be able to identify. But it's not really intelligence. It's not quite he doesn't read. An article came out like a couple weeks ago that says that he just gets bored by reading. He doesn't read books. Like, doesn't have any sort of curiosity beyond himself. But he does have this other skill set that allowed him to capture the hearts of people. That, I think, is different from how we think about intelligence. And just because you're a book rat, and just because you sit in a library, and just because you're quote-unquote book smart, has nothing to do with your ability to see ahead of you and to have...
I think it's just an obsessive nature. I think these people just pick one thing and they obsess over it, and that's their life.
I guess.
I mean, really, that's the most common thing.
That's when you see titans of industry and all that stuff, that's what they've done.
They don't have anything else.
Elon Musk obsessed over engineering, and that's why he can make the best electric cars. That's why he's bringing solar power to everyone and all that stuff.
And I'm pretty confident saying that Steve Bannon is obsessive.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question about that.
You know, and I think that's why I kind of think the work ethic aspect and the well-read aspect, I think they all fall in, because I think they're just obsessed.
Yeah.
Well, and even, like,
unhealthily.
Even way back when with, like, authors. Like, Shakespeare is considered one of the greatest writers of all of mankind, and he was obsessed with writing plays and poems and all this stuff. Like, he was obsessed
That's all he did all day.
With literature.
But Shakespeare was inventing his own language. He invented, like, words, and he changed the form, right?
Linguistics. Yeah, it's all about literature and language.
Point being, though, he didn't play by the rules of those that came before him.
You don't have to.
Yeah. And I think the difference between studying a craft and obsessing over that craft, I mean, let's say I wanted to be a director, right? Do I become a great director by watching those that came before me? Or am I a great director because I have an eye and a vision that is unlike anything that's come before me?
I think it needs to be both.
I think you become a great director if your entire life becomes about directing.
Yeah.
If all you do...
And when your entire...
is watch directors and direct yourself mm-hmm. and just direct things, mm-hmm. you would become a great director, I think.
Yeah.
If that's all you did all day long, basically, yeah, I think you would.
But would I? But would I change the world you by could. What I made?
Yeah.
Would I do change the form? I don't know if I have that capability personally.
I think that's. Just I think I can become. Self-doubt. I think that's just your self-doubt.
I think I can become proficient, and I think that I can succeed in life, and mm-hmm. I can be happy and whatever. Am I going to make an impact for 200 years? I think that's something you're born with, and again, that's 5%, and the other 95%. No fucking clue. Mm. And they're just controlled. And they're just there to just be consumers, right?
I don't know. I think – so here's what I'll say. And Zach's probably heard of this, but I was reading something earlier about the 40% rule uh-huh. of Navy SEALs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they say at the point where you're about to give up, yeah. you've only actually used about 40% of your potential.
Interesting.
You keep pushing. You push until failure.
Yeah. And they so they say the point where your body tells you, I'm done, you're only 40% done, not 100% done.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I really think when you say 95% of people, I mean I would agree. I think if we're going just to the general stupid smart, if my stipulations are you have it or you don't,
yeah.
I'm gonna still stick to like 80 something percent.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that high. I wouldn't go 95.
It's definitely that
but,
high.
But you're saying most of these people don't get it. I don't know. I think it's different. I think priorities are different. These people, these 5% or 1% or probably even less than 1% people we're talking about here, mm-hmm. are really they're just obsessive. With this one thing to the point that it ruins their relationships.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy, frankly, in a general term. On the large scale, it's like a great thing for society. But I think it's easy for us here to overlook all of the things they didn't experience or they didn't get to do. The things they're missing out on. Most people, the reason they don't achieve the things they want is because, you know, they get married. They right. have kids.
Mm.
They get a job. They need security.
They listen to that 40%.
They need that. Yeah, exactly.
They it's stop just, at the 40% and they don't go past it.
Yeah, and they basically, you know, it's like, well, like Elon Musk has had divorces, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of these people don't have good relationships with their families. They don't have a lot of friends.
Can you only be successful in one thing?
No.
Can you change the world while also having a quote-unquote successful personal life?
I'm not sure about that.
Does it work?
I don't think it's easy.
Yeah, it's another conundrum I always
think I think about. It's easier to change the world and then have a personal life.
Mm.
And then you become irrelevant, like maybe like a Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Where like nowadays it's like,
yeah,
it's just not really making good stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure he has a lovely wife.
I honestly feel like he's probably like, he made a lot of movies and now he just like spends time with his grandchildren. Yeah. That's how I feel like Spielberg is.
Now he spends his time in submarines going down to the Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
What would you rather have? Can we talk about this? What would you rather have?
Success or
personal happiness?
Friends?
Why are you asking me that? Friends? Why are you asking me that question? You know my answer.
We have 100%. Talked about this, haven't we?
100%. I've always
we have.
This is the one probably thing that I spend the most time thinking about.
Yeah.
All the time is how to be successful, how do you define success, yeah. all these things.
Yeah.
Probably this is my unhealthy obsession. And I would always pick success, although now it's different. Because I'm in a serious relationship.
Yeah.
But I was actually even, you know, I'll say this on the air. I don't care.
Yeah, go ahead.
Recently, I've been rethinking my life a little bit.
Ah.
And I've been starting to feel like, very recently, like I'm talking like the past day or two, I've been starting to realize and feel like I'm not accomplishing much anymore compared to what I used to. You remember how I used to, I would do like 10 things.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Be frantic and doing a million things at once. And
you'd have schedules. You'd literally have – you showed me one time like a spreadsheet that you made on a Google Doc.
Yeah.
And it was of your entire day blocked out for 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there wasn't 1 minute
I know.
Of
– We'd have to like schedule appointments. Time, yeah.
Right. And since going to Japan and returning, I've kind of lost that.
Okay.
And I just don't feel like I'm accomplishing as much as I used to. I don't feel good about myself, I guess.
Did you feel good about yourself before though?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You felt like when you had no free time during your day and when you were just wall-to-wall booked, you felt like...
That's kind of a strange thing.
That's a pocket that you wanted to be in?
It's a strange thing because you'd think you wouldn't, but like when you keep busy, it's... when you fall into a routine that works,
mm-hmm.
it actually kind of feels good.
See,
it got to the point where I got antsy if I had nothing to do.
Right. I'm starting to get that a little bit now myself because I've been more busy in the last like 4 months than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I think like... Now I don't know what to do with free time anymore. Like I had a couple, you know, days off here and it got snowy and just school has been a little bit more lax. And I'm, I don't know, I sit at home now and I watch movies and now I feel like I'm not doing anything with my days.
I'll tell you a couple of the issues. Yeah. Not being in college anymore, I'm not part of clubs anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird, getting used to that.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, the only things I really do is I work, I see Michaela, and I do this podcast.
Right.
That's about it right now.
That's pretty much your day. And occasional Lego Batman movie every now and again.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not doing, you know, I want to start doing more consistent things again. Like, I want to build another schedule, but I think part of the issue I'm having personally is a lack of technology that works for me. Because I'm realizing, like, financially I also have been having some issues because I'm not that good managing my money.
Yeah.
I've gotten significantly better.
Okay.
But
I was gonna say, I remember there was one time you and I went to, like, Target, and you spent, like, $200 because you thought something was cool.
On what?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Probably a few things.
It was on that Ouya.
Oh, well, yeah, but no, I wanted that for a while. That's different.
Of course. No. Just because you want something, it's different. Okay, so what are you rethinking then?
Well, like, I think if I need to get a new phone or something.
Yeah.
And I need something that can, like, text me updates. Like, I need a schedule that can remind me where I need to be. I need something automated.
This is so bizarre.
Well, like, I need to wake up in the morning and I need something to tell me, Nick, you need to write for an hour. Uh-huh. So I could be like, okay, I'm going to write for an hour today. Like, because there's the things that I always want to do and then I never get to it.
Mm.
So I need to start scheduling the things that I want to do into my life. And I also,
how is this a new revelation? This sounds like the same old Nick that I've known for 12 years.
The difference is I was better at doing it before. And I've gotten worse at doing it, and now I want technology to fill in that gap.
Okay, that's great. So you just need to be reliant on your pocket friend.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we need, yeah, in life, absolutely. It's like a Black Mirror episode. You should try it, though.
The new one, yeah.
You should schedule your life a little bit.
I don't like schedules.
Squeeze in all the pockets.
Because, you know, I don't like routines. Routines kind of freak me out.
Mm.
I don't like consistency sort of makes me feel like I'm going nowhere. You know what I mean? And I kind of need a little bit more unpredictability.
Let's see. No, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
I'm trying to I want the routine to kind of be like a more complex routine.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like every first Sunday I do this type of thing.
Yeah.
Every second Sunday I would do that. So like most of my days are pretty consistent, but like for the things that there isn't enough room for, try to overlap them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How do you feel about schedule stack? Let me ask you that.
I'm a routine. I don't like. I'm in between you. I'm between Nick and Nico. It's. I like knowing that my day is I wake up, I go to school, I go to work, and then I come home. But if I get out of class early, that won't throw a wrench in my day because I'll be sitting for an hour.
Yep.
Or if something gets canceled, I don't freak out because now I need to fill this hour with something because I'm not doing anything.
I will freak out.
Yeah.
If I'm not filling that time.
Yeah.
I try to schedule in, like, things specifically just for, like, if you have nothing else to do.
Yes.
Mm.
Like reading or something.
Right. Right. You always feel like your time is valuable. Your time is a commodity. And if you're wasting your commodity, it's like...
It's the only thing you can't get back.
I guess that is accurate. I guess that's true. But, I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, Man, it's a conflict that I keep having. It's, again, another thing that I think about, like you do, is there a value to just chilling? Is there a value to just hanging out with your buddies? Is there a value to just existing and just having time for yourself? And
I think
like,
so.
You know what I mean?
You should schedule that in.
But if you're scheduling it in, that's go.
That's not making time for it.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, I need to do this.
That's not organic. That's like, then it becomes a job, right? Then just relaxing, your time away from your job then becomes a job if you're scheduling.
Instead of saying,
not something you enjoy doing.
What do you mean?
If you enjoy your job, it doesn't feel like a job, I'm telling
you.
Well,
yeah, no, but no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying like, before you had to schedule in going to see somebody for an hour and a half and just hanging out doing nothing. Whereas Nico will come home on a Friday and he'll text a group chat being like, hey, who wants to go bowling?
Yeah. That's very true. Spontaneity is important. Like, that's the thing.
You can schedule spontaneity in.
No, you can. Then it's not spontaneous.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Cause then
it's like saying you could script an improv show. That's exactly it's.
No, you
that's
can.
What you're saying. It's you like, can. Man, I could write a great episode of Whose Line.
What one thing that you can do is you can purposely leave certain times available on your schedule so that if something spontaneous comes, you can move the thing that was originally supposed to be there to that time slot. That's something I've done before. Like, I keep a Sunday evening free so that if on Tuesday night somebody says, hey, let's go to the movie, well, I was going to do the thing, I'll just do that on Sunday.
Man.
You can do things like that.
Here's my question. I'm on my deathbed, probably for me around age 45, and I'm laying there, and I'm contemplating life as I'm about to enter the pearly gates. Am I going to be thinking to myself, man, I wish I had more Excel spreadsheets scheduling my life minute by minute? Am I going to say, oh, maybe I should have accomplished more in my life, and I should have pursued the passions that
I have
more?
I'll tell you what, if you're on your deathbed because you were late to an appointment, maybe. If you get hit by a car on your way,
it's like, I don't know. Damn.
Hold on. I just like to point out that he's talking about being late somewhere, and he's
never on
notorious.
Time.
You're never on time.
Being super,
very
super
true.
Late.
There's a reason. I make a schedule, but I follow the governor's schedule. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
It means he's never on time to anything. It's a fun fact. When I used to work at CTN, we'd videotape the governor speaking. Yes. Never on time.
Oh, just our particular governor.
I would say
not governors in general.
Oh, not in. Not this isn't the governor.
No, yes. No. I would probably say any governor is probably any public figure like that. They're probably never on time.
Yeah, whatever.
From my experience working with public figures, I would say they're not generally on time.
Accurate. Okay.
Because they're busy. They have a lot to do. You know?
Yeah.
And then obviously you have your meeting that's scheduled from 1 to 2, but afterwards you gotta greet, be friendly.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, you have a 20-minute car ride, you have to be somewhere at 3:30 or 2:30, and you finish at 2, and you're gonna sit and talk for half an hour. You're not gonna be on time.
You're describing hell. I hate this.
Okay. Again, I'm in between the middle of you, because if you say, oh, you sit and have and talk with someone for so and so, and of course you're gonna be late, I'm like, okay, we can talk, but 10 minutes, I have to leave. And then whether or not we're done with that conversation or not, I'm like, I gotta go.
We'll
sorry. And then I fucking
time.
Leave.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So that's why I'm not, you guys know this, I'm not late to things.
No.
Not generally,
I'm,
no.
Yeah, it's, you're and when good. It is, it's because, oh, there's traffic.
Yeah, you're good
that
usually.
Was, so. It, or, there was, because I've had conversations with somebody where I was halfway through the conversation, be like, hey, I gotta go, I told someone I'd be there, and I'm gonna be late if I, like, stay. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, go. Like, you, there is a point where you can be, quote-unquote, rude. Be like, I'm sorry, I need to go. And then you just go.
I think you make a schedule. You don't have to stick to it super strictly. But, like, you try to adhere to it, and you don't get stressed if you don't.
Well, and
you try to plan, and this is something I'm trying to get better at. You plan in
buffer times.
Buffer time. And
no, that's what
you try to do that.
That's what I do. When I go up to, like, Boston or whatever, I'm like, okay, we'll get there around this time. Say the train's supposed to get there for 11:50. Call it 12 o'clock. That way you have 10 minutes of the train being late for some reason.
I'm trying to get into the habit of being like something. If a ride takes 45 minutes, in the past I was the type of guy to be like, I could do it in 40.
Right.
And now I'm trying to get in the habit of being an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like
you're rounding up rather than.
Those are the types of difference I'm trying to make.
Or if you know you can do it in 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I can go from my house to work in. I can get there in 30 minutes. You look it up, it takes 35 minutes. I plan for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Because what's it going to hurt if you're a little late to it then? Nothing. It's not going to hurt anything.
How important is legacy?
In terms of like what the legacy you leave behind.
How important is it to be remembered? Does it matter at all? Because I think about this sometimes. There are days...
I have a genuine fear of me dying and then everyone is like, who the hell is this guy? I have a genuine fear about that.
Does it fucking matter? Does it?
No.
Seriously.
I don't think it matters at all.
Does it matter?
I think you join an elite club of forgotten people. Which is most people.
What do you...
Which is most of
humanity. I don't think it's very elite at all. I think it's like...
very welcoming.
That's the thing, though. We're all eventually going to be forgotten. I mean, even if we become, like, you know... even if we become the most important
What's worse? Let me ask you this. Let's say you're, like, a creature... in the fucking, like, 8,000 years ago, right? You die, everybody forgot about you. Yeah. And then, like, now we dig it up and we're like, oh, you remember, like, what's that human remains, the oldest human remains they found? They named it Lucy.
Lucy, yes. Yeah.
Like, how do you think Lucy feels? How does Lucy feel? Wasn't remembered for being what they were. They're just, now I'm Lucy.
Not even my name.
I was forgotten.
My name's Paul.
Yeah, I was forgotten. Well, it's a woman, but I was forgotten forever.
Yeah.
And Paula.
Yeah. Her name's like Sheila. What the fuck, guys?
I know.
And then all of a sudden you're...
I was an artist!
Yeah. Or like, let's
that
talk about
cave in France. That was me. Damn it.
Let's talk about Johnny Depp. Okay, I'm gonna bring Johnny Depp into this.
I would love to. Okay. How does this relate?
It does.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp does not consider himself an actor. He considers himself a musician.
Yes.
Yet he's famous for acting. How do you think he feels?
His
legacy is not what he wants.
Well, let's see. When you go home to a really fancy house,
okay,
a really
fancy car. No, that's the thing.
With a lot of money, I think he's feeling pretty good.
Yeah. No, Johnny Depp's full of shit, first of all. Fuck Johnny Depp. How do I think he feels? He doesn't actually believe he's a musician.
You know what pisses me off about Johnny Depp?
What?
How he's, what, 50-something?
How gorgeous he is?
How old is he?
Probably 50.
How old is Johnny Depp?
Probably pretty close to 52. It. I would say probably late 40s. I don't think he's
52.
You saw the Johnny Depp video with his wife or whatever about the
apology
puppies.
Video? Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
But no, so how old is Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp is age.
Love the fluff.
Did you not type in Johnny Depp age?
No, of course
like
not.
Like most Google users.
53.
Ooh. He's 53 years old.
What a good looking man.
Cut down on the motherfucking bracelets. And the scarves.
Grow
and the
up.
Necklaces.
Grow up.
Yes. You're 50. Wear a watch. Done.
Classy.
Put on one watch and then look and then be like, you know what? That's good. That's the
musician.
Perfect amount of, of accessory.
I'm telling you he doesn't believe that.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't believe that.
Okay, you're telling me a man who doesn't even watch his own movies.
I've seen that dude. That guy has seen Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest at least 34 times.
I don't think he has.
I think that dude watches himself on a loop, man. Like, that dude loves looking at himself. There's no way. That guy's full of shit, man. You see the way that guy talks? He has, like, kind of an accent, but not really an accent. And sometimes he sounds British, and sometimes he...
Yeah, it's all fake.
Yeah.
It's a fake accent. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I don't buy that guy for a second. Yeah, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. If I die, like, so what? Everybody dies. Like, why do I care about legacy so much?
What if you don't die, though?
What if I... Because someone's going to come around.
What if it's like that Twilight episode where that guy doesn't die, but he wants to die?
Even if I make the history books, like, eventually, like, I'm just going to be... Like, think about this, for example. I don't know. Alexander Hamilton. Maybe a bad example. He's like the biggest historical figure now. It's like everybody's favorite.
Martin Van Buren.
Probably like a really brilliant revolutionary guy at his time. You know? Probably like everybody loved Marty. Like he got invited to every cocktail party. He was probably the talk of the town at the time.
He probably
thought like, yeah, everybody's going to remember old Marty, right? He's like, he's fucking broads left and right, just knocking them down. And now he's just a guy that we're laughing about on a podcast.
Who has wonderful side
jokes. Even that guy who's in history just becomes an abstract thing in history. So what are we working for eventually? Because I guarantee you, the vast majority of people care more about Kim Kardashian now than they do Martin Van Buren. And the same will be true 200 years from now when the future Snapchat celebrity is like the new hot thing and Kim Kardashian is just a twinkle in someone's eyes. You know what I mean?
Are you advocating lethargy?
What?
What?
Am I thinking of the right word here?
What is it?
Being lazy?
I'm going to say because it's you, you're not thinking of the right word.
I'm advocating just living.
Being lazy and not caring. Just being like not caring. Just being like, why do we care? Let's just live.
Just live.
That's your advocating.
Let's just have a good time and let's just live. I don't know. That's been my... I don't know.
You sound like a hippie.
I do, and I hate myself for it. And by the way, I go back.
See,
and
he
forth
couldn't be a
hippie day.
Because they would go out and protest stuff.
That's true.
And like be active.
And they plant trees.
Way too lazy for that. Yeah, they shut down Berkeley speeches, and it's great.
chain themselves to shit.
Yes. I don't know. It's this constant push and pull in me, and I don't know what to think about it. One day I feel one way, one day I feel another way. But I look at all the happy people in my life, and I see that they're probably not the most successful, but it doesn't matter because they live within their means, and the little things are enough for them. And then I look at the most successful people that I know, and there just seems to be kind of an emptiness there. And that is fairly true among, you know, friends of mine, members of my family.
I've thought about this. So that, do you have any comments? I don't want to interrupt anyone, but I've thought about this.
Yeah.
I think about this in particular with comedians, because as a kid, I always wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah.
And I always thought of, like, you know, so many people probably say, oh, they want to be a comedian, but they don't realize the – or just be successful in general, but you don't realize the things you have to give up.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of comedians are very depressed. They are not happy people.
Well, that's also, I think, to a certain extent, because art comes from pain.
Right.
Yeah. And comedy especially comes from tragedy, right? A lot of the best art and creativity is born out of, like,
some
a,
of so, Louis C.K.'s best jokes are about his divorce.
Yeah. 100%.
But I also – not just in that sense, but just, like – You do have to give up a lot. You don't have...
Dropping fucking popcorn everywhere.
You don't have good relationships because you have to, like, always be on the road. You're always moving. There's a lot of, like, sacrifices you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That's the thing, though. Like, do I want to be that?
But they bring joy to other people.
So what? Like, well, Robin Williams brought an incredible amount of joy to people and didn't get to enjoy a second of it and then had his life cut short because of that. You know what I mean?
Well, is it worth the joy that you give to other people?
I think that's the choice that we have to make because that stuff doesn't necessarily last. Nothing lasts.
Or is it worth the improvements you make to the world, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I'm that much of a hero. Am I that type? Am I the guy that's just going to say I'm going to give it all to make sure everybody else around me is happy? Maybe. Maybe. I don't think I'm that good a person. I'm certainly not that good a person. I'm a fucking dirtbag. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. It's a complicated... Complicated push and pull. I don't know what I would rather have, to be honest with you, personal happiness or success. It's
Let's say it was a guaranteed done deal.
Ah. Okay.
Not so much a risk.
Okay. So
what do you do?
So
guaranteed happiness.
Here
guaranteed
is
success.
Here is okay, three doors. One gives you $100 million, right? Okay. And just a blank check, you won the lottery, whatever, there's $100 million. One, you have an impact that will be written about in history books for 500 years.
Positive or negative?
Because I don't want to be like the next Hitler.
Call it positive.
Okay.
Okay.
Call it positive. And then the third one, you have a beautiful family that you love very much, and you have three
Why do we always
kids.
Associate a family with happiness?
Because I... Oh, boy. Oh, now we can get
okay. This isn't like the psychology podcast.
Oh, it is guys. Now, baby. We're 42 minutes in. We were going to play Mad Libs, but fuck that shit.
We had good Mad Libs, too. Yeah,
why can't I just, like, have my favorite job?
Is it? But that's the thing. I don't know if that's quite happiness.
Like, what if you could just podcast for the rest of your
just
life?
Just your definition of pure happiness.
All right.
I wouldn't be...
Because, like, again, for you...
Do you want a family?
I don't know.
Like, is that something important?
Well, no, probably. But, like, personal probably. Happiness for Nick would be to get his dream job.
Why do you say probably?
I mean, like, probably. But yeah. It's definitely not... It's something that I just consider, like, yeah, it'll probably happen and it's good.
Yeah.
But it's not, but no, like, I don't consider it, like, my dream.
Yeah, because Nick is the type of guy who... The only thing he ever really wants is his dream job.
Mm-hmm. Not like, even job, but well, like just yeah, to make a difference, I guess, and like feel positive about it.
But then there's like me who I've always wanted a family.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't think I'm a good family man. I'm not a family man. That's all I'm saying.
That's door number three.
I mean, I try, but...
So door number...
Personal happiness.
Sure. All
right, door number three is family. Let's say family. Personal happiness. Like
a family that brings you a sense of satisfaction at the end of your life. Right? Where you can look out, which one would you take? If you had to take one right now.
So we got the money.
Yeah.
We got the...
Well, the money, if it's between the three, I'd get rid of the money, honestly.
Okay.
I'd rather be...
I'd certainly consider it.
Yeah. It's...
Can money buy happiness?
No.
Because I'll tell you what. The inverse is certainly true. A lack of money can certainly buy sadness.
Well,
it
you can be... money can buy... joy.
Yeah.
But I don't think it necessarily can buy happiness.
I think happiness is an outlook.
Isn't there a rule, I mean, in calculus or something that appeals? I mean, like, if you do not have money, it makes you pretty sad.
Well,
and if
you have money,
like, you can, I don't know.
That's Maslow's needs. Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What is that?
There's a hierarchy of needs.
Uh-huh.
And if you satisfy the first need, you can move on to the second need.
Yeah.
And if you satisfy the second need, you can move on to the third one. So... if you're given the needs out of order, it doesn't do anything for you, is the point. But once you reach a certain point in the hierarchy, so the first one is like water.
Okay.
Second one is like water and food.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is shelter.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is like people.
Okay.
That like, you know, good people around you.
Uh-huh.
That would be family and friends.
Which, yeah, things like that. I'm trying to think like.
It's been a while.
One of them, a little higher up, is like being able to take care of yourself. I guess is the word.
Self-sufficiency.
Yeah. And then there's
one of the last ones is financial stability.
The last one is self-actualization, which is you are at a point where you are stable and now you want to reach further and make an impact on others. And the general rule is you cannot feel this need to like go out and make a positive impact for others until those other needs are met.
Yeah.
Because until then, if you're not taking care of yourself, taking care of other people is like the last thing in your mind, general, as a general rule.
Even though those that I think do make the biggest difference are the ones that I think are the least selfish, or at least care about themselves the least, right? And put the least amount of time.
But they're meeting their basic needs, generally. Like, even the comedians who have, like, really – like, I think of Greg Giraldo a lot.
Yeah. Who was a tortured human being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And – but, like, at the end of the day, like, he had an apartment. He had water. He had his microwave dinners, I'm sure, you know? Like, I don't think he lived a great life or anything.
He certainly didn't. He was a drug addict.
Right. But he met the basic needs to the point that he wasn't out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do what he liked, you know?
What is that, though? If you're dead at age 50 and you're not around to see what the world has to offer and you're not – you know what I mean? And you're
so
not –
so which door are we picking? Is that where – let's talk about it. You're choosing family?
I think I'm taking three. I think I mean, if I had to choose today, I think I am taking three. Because at the end of the day, I can enjoy the time that I have here. I mean, I do think, like, when we say time is precious, like, that – that means being able to enjoy the fruits of what you've done in your life.
I think I'm taking two.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough for me because would I like to have a family and dream job and all this stuff and be happy? Yeah, but if I know that I can do something that is going to be regarded as something that was good for the world for a long time, that means it's still impacting very far down the road. That means I might want to pick that.
And you can die miserable knowing that others are going to be happy for you.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that you're dying miserable either.
It's
not like take a door and lose the other
two. It's going to be – it is, though.
He's saying this is like
the – I'm saying you got to take one or the other. I'm saying it's black and white.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not saying if you go through the middle door, you don't have any money. That's not what you're saying.
No, you can be stable. You don't have $100 million.
I'm saying if you do that, you're going to look back on your life, and this is more of what I'm talking about. When you're on death's door, you're going to have regret. Hey, didn't make enough money, or hey, I didn't spend enough time on me. I didn't spend enough time on making sure that my life was satisfied, and I spent too much time worrying about the world's problems. And that's what I'm worried about, is that
I made the world to a place where other people could have enjoyed their families and their lives. If I made the world better in that way, of course I'd feel fine with that.
Okay.
It's easy to be
so would I, but I don't want to – it's not – I don't want
to – I'm terrified of regret. That's what I'm terrified of.
I'm not.
Regret has always –
I already have a lot. I always have a lot of regrets. I have so many regrets. You get over it.
I guess so.
I have a lot of regrets, I'll tell you.
I guess you do.
I made a lot of bad decisions when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I still – like, and they're not like – I didn't kill a guy, like,
right.
You know, nothing crazy, but, like,
good to know.
There are still times where I, like,
That's exactly what someone who did kill somebody would say.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah. I didn't kill a guy.
Yeah.
No.
There's the line.
But, like, even now, like, I'm at age 21, I still, like, think back every now and then to something I did when I was 14.
Always.
And I feel like an asshole.
Always.
And I want to, like, be like, oh, can I go apologize to that person? And, like, I'm not even relevant to their life anymore.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And they're just, like... And I'm still like, oh, man, I wish I could apologize, be friends with them. And it's like, it doesn't work that way, though.
I said something. I embarrassed myself.
And half the time it's something they don't even care about.
Sure.
They don't even remember it.
Sure. It always means, 100%.
So who cares, so.
Yeah, wow. Now I feel depressed.
One thing is, but I've always been kind of like more of a numbers guy. If I'm in a situation where...
What the fuck was that?
If I'm in a situation where...
There's a rescue dog.
I was gonna fucking say.
If I'm in a situation where, like, I die or 100 people die, I'd like to say that I would...
Sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, I would...
I think that I would do.
It's a tough situation because we've never been in it, so you don't really know
what.
Well,
it's like that moral dilemma with the train.
Yeah. But, like, certainly if...
Oh, that's a great one.
Where it's like, okay, you can move the train and five random people die, or you don't move the train and like your grandmother.
Not even that. No, this is even this is what
where
it
you
is.
Don't touch the train and you're not
right.
Yeah,
train's heading in a direction. There's one random dude at the end of that train, or no, there's five random dudes at the end of that train. You pull the lever, it's just going to go to one person, and you're going to significantly lessen the impact, but you have nothing to. So in other words,
you were actually guilty for killing that one person.
Right. Yeah. I'm sentencing one guy to die rather than five. This was posed in one of the episodes of Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. This year, which what'd you guys think of this season of Sherlock?
I didn't see it yet.
Okay. Great.
The new one, right?
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet.
I saw bits and pieces of it, but
I actually didn't know it came out yet.
Well, yeah, it launched January.
Is it on Netflix?
Like mid-January. No, it was airing on BBC.
Oh, that's the issue.
It was airing live.
And then after a while, it'll go on.
Yeah, there was an episode there was an episode that posed the dilemma. I don't quite know what I would do, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's simplify it. There was one person and one person.
Yeah.
Do you just let it happen, or do you just switch it to the other person? Like, what do you do?
Do I have a say in the matter, you're saying? Like, would I...
There's just one random
person.
Like,
you're saying there's, like, two identical people.
Yeah, there's one person on one track. It's like, either you save a person and you are saving a person, but also killing another person, or you just don't do anything.
Or would you... Yeah, you're assigning yourself the role of God. Like, you're also having, like, a say in which one I want to live and which one I want to die. I mean, that's what you're in a situation.
I would feel equally guilty on both parts.
I don't think the number matters when you're in that situation. But... I don't know. It's at the same time, though. If I'm choosing between 100 random people and one random person,
yeah,
I'll probably kill the one person.
I'll kill the, yeah, it's...
And it's horrible.
I think you'd have to. But I don't know. That's pragmatism. And I always say that I hate pragmatism. I am completely ideological. I want everything in life to be just as close to moral as possible. And I don't like cutting corners on anything. That's a whole other conversation for another day.
It's not really a game. It's more like a social survey thing. That some university, I can't fucking remember it. I'll get home and I'll fucking remember it.
Are you talking about the one that they're using for cars?
For cars, yeah. Where it's to help program the computers for self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you a situation where it's like, okay, you either need to choose for the car to continue going straight or swerve into the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like, the walk sign, it says don't walk. But an elderly woman and a young woman with her baby is in the way of the car. You can either swerve and crash the car and potentially kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it is. And kill yourself. Or you can kill these people. Right. What do you do when it says don't walk? Is it your fault or is it their fault for not paying attention?
I've actually taken this.
I've taken this.
And yeah,
they
give you tons of scenarios. They basically just draw a diagram.
Yeah.
And there's tons of scenarios. It's like there's another car in the opposite lane, or there's a person walking, and they have the walk signal, or they don't have the walk signal. Or they give you every scenario possible.
One of the hardest ones.
The people are old. The people are young. It's a woman. It's a man.
One of the hardest ones is, it's the don't walk thing, and it's a cop is in the lane where you stay in the lane, and a criminal is in the lane that if you swerve, you're going to kill them, but it's still don't walk. What do you do?
Right.
Do you follow the laws and kill the police officers, or do you not follow the laws and kill the criminal?
And the idea is to get as many people as possible to fill this out, mm-hmm. so that we get the general human consensus
of morality.
Right. I think it's called like the morality machine or
something like that. But of course, this is only for scenarios where the car has...
Where it is death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The car is basically in an impossible situation, which the car should never even get into in the first place. Mm-hmm. But if it does, what does it do?
Right. This has always bothered me because I think – see, what that is that's a test of pragmatism. That's a test of here is a real-life scenario. It's not squeaky neat. There's no right answers. There's no wrong answers. Try to navigate your way through
that. They also have one with dogs that messes people.
I don't.
Things like that.
That's on like the morality machine and everything like that. It's not a fun thing.
Right. My idea has always been there is, at least internally, and this is a different definition for everyone, but there is a code that you live by, and there is right and there is wrong, and that should not be broken. And our attempt should be to get as close to that ideal as possible.
I disagree.
You know what I mean? Now, there's
I think humans are naturally hypocritical, like I was saying earlier.
Oh, it's MIT.
We break our own rules.
It's called the morality machine?
It's called the moral Is it just called Moral, or is it Morale? When it's an Moral. E, it's Morale. Morale. It's the moralmachine.mit.edu.
Okay, I'll do that later.
I think we should do that on the podcast one of these times.
Yeah, definitely. We
have it's to. Not next week, but the week after, maybe.
You know what? How long does it take? Did it take long?
No. It took me like, I don't know, 5 minutes, good. 10 minutes.
No, I think it took me like 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, keep talking.
But then again, I went in with like, I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to go in. Like, when I took it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in. If they're breaking the law or something, if my first instinct is to be like, okay, kill these people. Mm-hmm. That's what I clicked. I didn't sit there and think about it for a while.
I considered all the options.
Right. Why do you think that people are naturally hypocrites?
I just think we are because, I mean, I hate emotions.
Yeah.
You know this. I hate emotions. We are still a slave to our emotions to a degree.
Certainly.
And some days we might just be doing one thing, and some days we might do a different thing in the same exact scenario. Mm-hmm. Just how we are. There are days where I'm driving, and some fucking asshole is walking in the middle of the road, and I'm like, fuck that guy. He's a piece of shit. Who the fuck does he – next day I'll be walking. I'll walk in the middle of the road, cut a car off or something, and I'll be like – I'll justify it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
I'll sit there and be like, well, I had to get across, man.
Well, no, it's always like when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, you'll be like, what makes you so special? And then 10 minutes later you do it and you'll be like, yeah, I have to do it. I need to get there.
Yeah, and there's one group of people that I universally hate no matter what scenario I'm in, and that's bicyclists.
People on bikes need to die.
Bicyclists.
No, they don't. Well, no, because, yeah, it's there was like this joke that was going around that was like, when you're in a car and you see someone on a bike, you hate them. Yeah. When you're walking and there's someone on a bike, you hate them. When you're on a bike and you see someone else on a bike, you hate them. Yeah. Nobody likes bicyclists.
No one does, yeah.
I'd rather see some guy wearing the full bicyclist gear riding down on a Razor scooter. Yeah. I'd be like, you're a good guy.
You'd be like, okay, I get it.
Still wheelies. That is,
yeah,
doing a little swapping Tony Hawk
like,
trick.
Like, knocking his ankles off. Like.
So, here's the
did
thing.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, I did. We'll just do a few of these. There's not many.
Yeah.
You want to do it right now?
Yeah, I'll do it right now. Okay, so here we go. In this case, the self-drive – so you have a self-driving
now,
car.
Now, see, brake because failure. I do believe that this is going to go and help it. So, Nico, I think you should answer it no matter what we say, but then we do talk about it.
Okay, I see. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we might have to look at the diagrams as well.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay, so here's essentially what you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Your option number one always involves not changing anything. You are in the car – And you are driving towards this person. You can either continue down that path or change course to hit someone else. So this two scenario is you are heading towards a large woman and just a woman. I don't know why they felt the need to differentiate that.
It's
large woman and woman.
Because psychologically, people do think about people who are overweight, people who are skinny, people who are old, people who are young very differently.
Okay. A lot of factors
that
they really take into
account.
So
you do that or you swerve to hit one large man and one man. What do we do?
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm hitting the men.
I'd hit the men.
Right?
I mean, you don't know if that woman is large because she's pregnant.
Excellent point. I'm not thinking about that, though.
I'm just thinking.
You're just thinking as a man.
Yeah.
You kill men.
Yeah.
Men
yeah.
kill men.
Yes. Men kill men. That's right.
It's not
wow,
it's
Nick,
not chivalrous to kill a woman.
Did you forget your club at home?
No, I had
and
no,
you don't think it's the alpha male mentality? We just got to kill all the other dudes? Like,
I know. I
save the women.
No, I think those dudes would understand. I think be like, yeah, I get it. You don't want to kill.
See,
you don't want
to. But
have
see,
to
I think about it differently. I think of it as, oh, they're women. They can have children that will propagate the fucking human race.
That's fair. That's way
like
too, again,
it's,
way
I mean
too
I agree
advanced.
I think I killed the men when
listen
I would kill the
I
men
I think
though.
The idea of women and children getting saved in the Titanic first is something that we should still have, and I don't care what feminists say, like I still think that chivalry
I'd
should
love to
exist.
See a feminist take this and kill the women
like, wow. And they'd probably do that, and that would probably be some sort of female empowerment thing. Awful men, they're dying. This is next, the
so
next...
yeah this is
oh,
like
yeah,
one
yeah.
of those don't walk things right.
Okay, so in this case, a self-driving car with sudden brain failure. Okay, here we go. So here's who's going to die.
What a strange scenario where
I know.
The animals are following the traffic signals.
Yeah, so note that the affected pedestrians here are flouting the law by crossing on the red signal. This is one pregnant woman, one man, one female executive, one homeless person, one male executive, and on the other side are two dogs and three cats. Who have the right of way.
They do have the right of way.
Have the right of way.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about this one.
It's kill the animals.
Sorry.
I would kill it for like a Twinkie. I mean, I have no problem. I just want to say.
What would you do for a clown
like
bro?
You're not. We've talked about this before. You're not an advocate for killing animals.
No.
But you don't have a problem with it.
I would strangle every dog on the face of the planet to save one person. That's what I would physically kill them. That is where I put morality. Human life is better. Yes.
Any person.
Yes.
The worst person.
100%.
Okay.
1,000,000,000% over. I just hate animal freaks, and I don't get how you value that. Okay. here we go. You can swerve the car to kill two male athletes, two female athletes, and one woman. Or on the other side. You can stay exactly where you're going and kill just two men, two women, and one large woman.
I remember how I answered this one.
Me too.
But I also didn't take this to full face value, like you're supposed to. But
yeah,
I'm not having Derek Jeter's blood on my hands.
Well,
you know what I mean. I'm not having that blood on my hands.
Well,
so you're
picking the stay straight.
Yeah, and they gave me an out by saying that I can just stay straight. I don't have to actually make any decision.
You know what I mean? Well, see, I'm in the group of people that it's better to do something and try and fail than to just not do it and then all these people die. So I would honestly I would swerve, because it's better to make to try to save people and then to just be like and fuck them.
I picked the swerve as well for a different reason.
Why?
Because, and I didn't take this as face value. I know it says no matter what you do they die. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking about the fact that we're trying to program how these cars are going to work, and they're not 100% surefire.
Yeah.
Right. I would go for the people who are fit and probably already exercising because they have a better chance of getting away in time.
Ah.
If we swerve towards the five people, that person up front might make it out of the way.
Interesting.
Kill four people instead of five, you know?
Okay.
I think they have a better shot of it.
You're breaking the rules, but okay.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I said I didn't stick to it 100%, and I get that.
Yeah.
But.
You're breaking the rules. I'm picking? This is my decision?
Yeah.
Okay. Pick that one. Oh, okay, here we go.
This one's easy.
Oh, shit. Okay. So, you can kill four cats and a dog. I love how they have to differentiate. It's great.
Just four animals.
Right? Or you can go towards a barrier and kill yourself.
With everyone else in the car.
Right, okay.
Which is like a baby,
yes.
A large man, a female executive. What are these?
Do these get harder? I hope. Here we go. Next one.
This one's pretty challenging, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so in this case, you are in the car and you can kill
yourself.
Yourself.
You swerve.
Okay. Two women and an elderly man?
In the car.
Okay. And then walking on the street are two little girls and a man.
So do you, yeah.
But and they are violating the crosswalk thing. Oh, God. So one of them is definitely me?
Yes. Well, if somebody's in the car, I looked at it as, okay, what would I want the car to do? So I took it as somebody in the car is me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like – so it's not like those three people in the car plus you.
I would try to – if we're going by the same rules before, I would try to avoid – I think just instinctually I would try to avoid the two little girls. Yeah. And I would swerve out of the way. And I just – you know what I mean?
My rule – that's fair.
You know what I mean?
If people are not following the traffic laws, I said fuck them.
Is this – does this matter? Does this really matter to you? That's an important thing. Because it's funny.
I'm saying if people follow the rules –
it must matter to somebody. That's why it's in the test.
If people followed the rules, they wouldn't die.
That's so funny, though. So you set morality there on the law, right?
Because and actually, at the end of this, whatever you answer, they'll show you how heavily you favor the law versus – they didn't use anarchy, but lawlessness or whatever. And then how much you favor animals versus people, the elderly, young, men, women.
Overweight versus
overweight, fit. Underweight, executive, homeless. It shows you all the statistics at the end of this.
The law means nothing to me.
I feel like when it comes to human life, to a certain degree, law can go out the window.
Don't get me wrong. If it's, like, you're going to kill eight people who are crossing the road versus one person, like, sure,
save
I'll kill
the one
person.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's an equal amount of people, mm-hmm. in general, I'm going to say you shouldn't have crossed the road. You should have fucking just waited.
No. Like, I'm making the decision with two little girls. I can't do it.
Yeah, no.
Can't do it.
I would swerve.
And I like kids too much. Can't do it.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Breaking the rules, man.
So, you are in the car. You can kill one criminal, one homeless man, one woman, one man, or swerve out of the way into a barrier to kill three pregnant women and a male executive in the car. Yeah, the pregnant women, it's numbers, right? It's arithmetic. It's got to be arithmetic. You got to kill the people on the road, no?
Well, they're breaking the law.
And they're also breaking the law, too.
Breaking the law, so just kill them.
Go over the people again.
One criminal, one homeless person, one woman, one man are crossing the street. And then in the car, potentially swerving into the barrier, are three pregnant women and a male executive.
I like that the male executive's in the back.
Yeah, I know.
And one of the pregnant women is driving.
Yeah. No, that's empowering. It's feminism.
I'd say just because they are pregnant, I wouldn't swerve and kill them.
Just math. It's just math.
It's just pure math.
Well, yeah, because there's seven people in that car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this one's fun.
You can drive into...
Oh, this one is fun.
One male doctor, one woman, one pregnant woman... And one male executive.
How did the car determine this?
Or swerve into two criminals, one homeless person, one woman.
I know what I do without even thinking.
Yeah, no, I got to kill the criminals, no?
I would swerve in, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the doctor can actually do stuff.
True.
The woman's pregnant.
Yeah. The doctor can save the people you just hit.
Or you could try.
Yeah, no, it's the exact...
Yeah, no, you swerve and kill the bad people.
Swerve and kill the bad people, okay. We're killing the Batman villains. Keep going. Here we go. This side is abiding the law. One cat, one girl, one male executive. This side is breaking the law. One cat, one girl, one male executive, along with a pregnant woman and a male doctor.
Again, it's a numbers thing.
And they also, again, they gave me the out because I'm driving into them. But you're saying just because they broke the law, it's worth two extra people?
It's a little tougher, but probably.
I can't. They gave me an out because I don't have to swerve.
It's, I would go with the kill the less.
Kill the less people. Got to kill the less people. Okay. Here we go. Next one. Drive straight into a barrier, killing the two boys, one large man, and one male athlete in the car. Or swerve to the people that are disobeying the traffic law, killing two girls, one large...
Wait, you're killing the dead girls?
One large woman and one female athlete. And again, another chivalry thing.
In this scenario, I actually would kill the people.
I'd kill the people.
Even though those people are breaking the law there,
mm-hmm.
I would kill the people in the car because it's their brake failure. Do you know what I mean? Like, the other people didn't... They're just going straight. That's why. They don't have to turn and swerve and choose to kill other people.
Right.
It's their brake failure, which sucks, but they're the ones who are going to deal with it.
They got it. Yes.
Because your brakes failed, some innocent person shouldn't die.
Excellent point.
But if they're breaking the law, it's a little tougher, but in this scenario, because they don't have to swerve.
Okay, we got three more here. This is one large man, one woman, and one man are crossing the street when they're not supposed to. One large man, one woman, one man. In the car going into a barrier are two male athletes and one female athlete. Survival of the fittest, bro. And they're breaking the law. You're giving me an out here. Fuck the fatties.
I don't know.
Think so, right? The athletes. Again, not having Serena Williams blood on my hands. Not happening. We're killing.
I think I would swerve also.
Yeah. We're killing the people. Absolutely.
Or no. I don't know.
They're breaking the law. You just said that.
Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite.
Drive into one woman that is obeying the law. Or one dog, one elderly woman, one male doctor, one female doctor, and one boy who are all breaking the law.
Numbers thing, kill the single person.
Numbers thing. Numbers thing.
I don't know.
Numbers
thing. I think I've determined what it is for me.
Okay.
If they're breaking the law versus someone who is not breaking the law, kill the person who is breaking the law. But if it's killing yourself versus someone who's not breaking the law, I would kill yourself.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Swerve into a barrier that would kill one elderly woman, one pregnant woman, one boy, one male athlete, and one man. Or drive into people who are obeying the law, one elderly woman, one pregnant woman, one boy, one male athlete. What's the difference here? The one man?
Yeah.
Let's say you.
But they're also following the law.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck.
I figured out my hierarchy.
That's a tough one.
I know what I would do.
That's really tough.
Nah, easy.
It's pretty easy for me.
What would you do?
I'd swerve.
Yep, swerve.
You'd swerve?
Following the law. If they were breaking the law,
again,
I'd kill them.
Yeah. They're following the law, and it falls back on my – if the car can do something,
they
should do it, and the car that swerves and kills people in the passenger
seat. I've determined my hierarchy. People following the law should be saved first.
Yeah.
and
right. I'll say
swerve. Then the driver, and then people breaking the law.
I'll actually say swerve. Okay, drive right into three girls and two men who are breaking the law.
Okay.
Or three elderly women, two elderly men who are obeying the law. Sorry, Granny. Can't do it, man. Your time's up. Your time's up. Just is what it is, man. It's like, I'm not killing one two again, little girls.
It's three little girls. I'd have to swerve.
Gotta swerve there.
Nick, go straight.
Kind of tough. Yeah, I feel like I should. They're breaking the law.
Okay, so here we go.
Don't play in traffic.
Oh, these are different questions?
No. Those are your, scroll up. So it's like.
No, this is please answer. To what extent do you feel the trust machine? Okay, yeah, skip all this shit, whatever. I don't care.
And then it'll show you.
So I saved women the most.
Athletic women.
Yeah, athletic women
the most. Athletic women I saved the most.
And what did you kill the
most? You're welcome, ladies.
And I killed a dog the most. Saving more lives matters to me less than it does for most people. For the average, that's really interesting. Wow, that's actually really interesting because I thought I did the math most of the time. Protecting passengers, I'm about the same. I'm about midway through. Doesn't matter, does not matter. I don't really have a bias there. Upholding the law means very little to me as opposed to a significant amount for others. The average is what they're calculating here. Avoiding intervention does not matter. For most, it matters a lot. That's interesting. So that means, in other words, I was more likely to decide to kill people, whereas others were more likely to just go with what fate is giving them.
No, avoiding intervention. You were less likely to you were more okay with just letting the car go.
To letting the car do whatever it wanted to do, to continue going straight. As you put it, you have an out.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Other people felt more responsible.
More people thought, like I do, where it's better to try and save everyone than to do nothing.
Look at this one. This is fascinating. Look at that. I am all the way gender preference. Females matters a lot more to me.
You're literally at the end.
Yeah, I'm at the way end. And then, but most people do have a bias towards females.
Towards females.
But it's not nearly as profound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Species preference is the exact same thing.
Oh my God. You are all the way
humans
to humans. Look at how they wrote humans.
Like an owl.
They wrote humans.
Humans.
H-O-O-M-A-N-S. Why did they do that?
I am all the way over there, and you know that actually I think would describe my preferences. And then me all the way at the end for age preference
go
as well.
Young, yeah.
Look at
that. I don't care about the types of people.
Fitness preference all the way at the end. Fit people over large people.
You like sports.
I do.
You don't want Derek Jeter or Serena Williams' blood on your hands.
That's it. Sure. And look at this social value preference. I'm all the way in terms of criminals versus regular people.
Towards regular people.
Yeah.
That's what it's.
No, yours is all the way on higher class versus lower class.
Yeah.
So you want to save the higher class people more, is what it says.
That means
doctors. Executives.
Yeah, I don't like that though. Why is a criminal lower class?
That's just what it says.
I think anybody can be a criminal. Mm-hmm. I don't like that value judgment. I don't think it has to do with lower class. I think criminal is criminal, right?
I'm just saying what the chart says, man.
I get the chart.
I get you though.
Can't disagree. You know what I mean? It's like a criminal. You could be a first class criminal.
Yeah, you could be a Wall Street banker, be a criminal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're more likely to.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Wow. Interesting test.
See, when I took this, I didn't care about the type of people.
Yeah.
It was a numbers game and a law game primarily, mm-hmm. and a species. Like I obviously fucking fuck the dogs.
Kill the animals when always. You can, right. If there's the option to save one human.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think those biases exist. I stand behind those biases. I don't think that there's any value judgment here that I'm like, ew.
No.
I don't like that I believe that. I think I'm pretty much – I'm okay with saving the ladies.
Well, and you also got to take into account that they're randomly generated too on top of it.
Yeah.
So it could have been, you had – there could have been one criminal in the entire thing, and they could have been in a group that you saved because it had doctors in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be like, you don't kill any criminals.
Right.
I actually kind of wish they made you take more of these, even though it would take a long time.
Right.
Yeah, if they have you take like two or three tests.
200 or 300 scenarios maybe even.
Yeah. Like, so this is called the MIT Moral Machine.
Yeah.
I'd like to do another test like this sometime in the future about racial bias. Have you heard of this test?
Yeah, I took that.
I took it too.
I don't think I've heard of it.
So essentially what it is you have two buttons. And it flashes a word or a picture or some indicator and you have to associate it
with black or white.
There's Asian, white, all that sort of stuff, right? So, like, if it shows you just a black face, for example, you would hit black and put that in that category. But then eventually they start cycling in words that are value judgments.
Like criminal.
Yes, criminal, good, bad, handsome, ugly, all this sort of stuff, and it sees and you have to categorize that under certain things. And what it's doing is it's testing your mind's association with those words and those value judgments with the race. And do you have a very heavy correlation between the two? Like, do those things operate the same space in your head, or do you they have no correlation whatsoever? I will simply say I took the test, and I thought when I was done with it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself. I don't think I had any bias here.
Oh,
and it
really
showed up as heavy racial bias.
Well, no, because – heavy. Well, and it's also – with something like that, like, I don't – obviously, I don't think any of us here are racists or hate one particular race over another, but it's a mixture of growing up – it's of how you grew up.
Maybe
partially in what you've seen on TV. And
yeah,
all
it's
these
but
things.
It's just it's instinctual, right?
Yeah, your brain makes these connections even though you don't really believe in them.
Yeah. Well, our brain makes the shortcuts. That's
yeah,
like
exactly.
Natural. I actually took that as well.
Yeah,
and I did the exact opposite of you.
Uh huh.
Because I thought I was going to be pretty heavily racially biased.
Yeah.
And I actually had one of the lowest scores in the whole class.
No kidding.
Which shocked me.
Can you send that to me?
Yeah. I
want to take that.
I was in like the second lowest level.
Yeah.
Like, of like. Not biased, which shocked me because I honestly thought I was going to be way – because, like, all the stereotypes and jokes I make and I thought I was going to be way worse. I was pretty shocked.
Yeah.
But
I
– Well, that's like – I know if it flashed criminal, instinctually I would click black because in TV and movies,
exactly.
That's how it's shown. That's,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's – I grew up – we grew up in Connecticut, which is predominantly white or was when, like, our grandparents grew up. So
well,
they
it's
have
pretty horrible,
and...
too, because, like, the places in Connecticut that are generally not, like, good neighborhoods, good cities are generally predominantly,
It's
every town ever.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
no. Every ghetto, every inner city is populated by minorities. And so that's, like, just...
And it's, yeah, it has to do with, a long history of housing segregations and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But then it sucks because then they're poor, so... Statistically, more of them are going to turn to a life of crime, which propagates the stereotype, which then leads that. Yeah,
it's a whole thing. There's America, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting quiz.
Those are really interesting things.
Yeah.
It really did make me think
because I do like to talk a big game of like, I'm not racist. Like, I have so many black friends, even though I don't. But then, I don't know. And then afterwards, I just see that there's a part of my brain, whether I know it or not, that is operating on that level. And that always freaks me out because, like, now that's informing my opinions on things. So, yeah.
You just got to hate everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very true. And then you can't be
just teach yourself to hate everybody.
Yeah. Because if you hate everybody, then you hate nobody, really. Great. There we go.
This has been profound.
We haven't done a show like this, I don't think, ever. And hopefully never again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was really deep and good, I think. We'll talk about shit jokes next week, I'm sure. We'll get back to where
we'll discuss
we started.
Rape
next.
Too much rape. Too much rape already. Great.
Next week we'll do our Valentine's.
Yes.
Yep.
We're a week late, but
none of that Palentine's bullshit.
Nah.
Cringe.
What a great gimmick.
No, I'm
that
just
is.
Kidding.
What a great idea. What I should say. What a great pun that is. We are gonna do a Valentine's Day show next week involving some sort of Valentine's movie.
It'll be Malentine. Mal, like bad. Like, okay.
Ooh! Malentine's Day. I like it. Malentine's Day next week. And why is this
one of the worst ones?
I don't like that at all.
I'm sure it'll be bad.
His
though.
Snowden joke was better than that.
It was better than that.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Nico's pre-show, we're talking about getting snowed in and how we should do a movie about like
being
The Shining
snowed
or something,
in.
Being snowed in. And then he goes, we could just watch Snowden.
which is still hilarious.
Still pretty good.
Still funny.
There we go. Guys, thank you. Adam will be back next week. Subscribe on iTunes. Tweet us at FunnyNicoTweets. Nick doesn't check Twitter, and neither does Zach. Why am I saying
so,
that? Don't tweet us.
So tweet Nico.
Tweet me. Subscribe on all the various things.
No, if you tweet DM me, I get texts to my phone.
Okay.
Just nobody ever does. But if you do, I will actually get it.
At Tacky Slacks. No guarantee they don't respond. But
I'll try.
Okay.
I don't even think I have Twitter on my phone anymore.
Yeah,
so
definitely don't. Snapchat, Zach.
I don't do social media.
Send him something lewd.
Yeah, for Valentine's Day. Give me a Valentine's Day surprise.
Yeah, that's the last thing I need.
You don't know,
send
do?
Nico the lewd things.
I agree.
I will take
if Nick
all
and
news.
I, if Nick and I got the lewd things, that would be pretty
can
bad
I be very?
Both
can
us.
I be very, very abundantly clear? I will take any nude picture that is sent to me. I don't care.
Do you have Snapchat?
Yeah, I have
What's Snapchat. What's your
Snapchat? I've given this out many times before. People have it. Because I have, I think some listeners have added me and they Snapchat me every once in a while.
It's going to get like 20. It's just going to be dick.
No, I'll take a dick pic. I'll cycle through for like one boob. You know what I mean? That's why I say I'll just take everything. I don't discriminate.
So chat roulette must have been like your jam.
No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. My Snapchat is thenico1234.
That's right.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the Nico.
Send me nude pictures for Valentine's Day. I'll take them. I don't care.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I don't discriminate. And I'll try not to open the ones of the dicks. That's all.
Try. Try.
It's a minefield. I'll just try to see who the men and the women are.
The worst game of Minesweeper ever.
So there we go. Valentine's Day will be a week late. Be our Valentine here on Why Is This a Thing. Do you guys like the new artwork that I made? That took me way too long. It was pretty good.
It's pretty good. How did you do? Let me ask you this. Was that like a? Was that a thing that you used? Like somebody else made it? Stock kind of. Not a.
Yeah, the stock photo. Yeah.
Not really a stock photo. Like a pre-made.
The outline of things. Yeah.
Because you had the images in at an angle.
Yeah,
did you do that yourself?
I did that myself.
You did that yourself?
I did.
I was,
wow. I'm a big boy now. I don't Photoshop.
I was looking at it.
Did you cut out the layers and then put the images behind? Or did you actually line them up properly?
I put the images behind.
That's what I thought. That's a better way to do it.
Yeah, the images behind.
Wow. That's pretty good, man. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, buddy. It took me way too long.
After you sent it, I was
like, I wasted way too much time on it.
Minus the aerial round.
No, we changed that.
We changed it to the...
Now it's Jurassic Park, right?
As soon as you said Jurassic Park, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's where I know that font from.
Yeah.
That's why it's so movie.
Yeah. So there you go. I think people have it updated in their feeds already so they can see the new artwork.
But no, so I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh, I like all the pictures. And then I saw something. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I zoomed in on the very last picture.
Yes.
And it's just that Stallone face.
Yes, it is. I know. A little.
I'm like, oh, yes, that's awesome.
There's some Easter eggs in there for everybody. You got Tim Allen as Santa Claus. You got Thanksgiving.
Buscemi, of course. You got
Pompidou right in the cover.
I'm glad we
I just Pompidou. Rewatched Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great.
I'll tell you, if we're ever going to edit this, I would change the font, but that's just me. You know, I'll bitch about fonts forever.
The font will stay. This is the iconic.
The iconic.
Na, 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 na. That'll just be the intro to
we've never even talked about Jurassic Park. I don't think a single time on this podcast.
We really should do a marathon of them. Because 2 and 3 are not.
What about
very
Cretaceous
good.
Park?
And World.
Cretaceous Park?
Yeah. Why are we always focusing on the Jurassic?
Cretaceous Park?
Stick to your Snowden jokes, kid. We'll be back. Thank you, everybody. You've all been naughty.
God, we're like a cult.
That was so good.